The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle DC, interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on virtually anything you want to talk about your health, as long as it doesn't involve, you know, what drug to use. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We're here to do it the natural way, you know, without drugs, without surgery, when at all possible, save you from the potential of having some stuff done that's irreversible. You know, you are the owner of your ship, right? You are the master of your health and your wellness. The problem is that we're never given the opportunity to really understand what that means. That's why we do this program, by the way, to give you an opportunity to understand that things don't happen just because. It's a process. There's very little other than somebody comes up and, you know, takes you out of this life that will be something done to you. The rest of it is we do it to ourselves. We end up with injury patterns. We end up with bioelectrical, biochemical insults, injuries, you know, things we eat we shouldn't eat, things that we need more of, we don't get enough of, the exposures in today's world, the electrical fields. And the third is that mind of ours, the thoughts that go through our head. Because the truth of it is, you walk in tandem. Whatever the foremost motivating thought that you have, you will have that outcome. I want to talk to you about some things today. I want to get you thinking a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about a controversial subject that's very, very important, and that's vaccines. You know, 'tis the season, right? Everybody wants you to go out and have your flu vaccine. Well, we may get started into that, but I want to talk about something else, and simply because of the fact that when things show up in the practice, it often irritates me, and that's putting it very mildly. It gets to a place where sometimes I get a little enthusiastic about my commentaries. And I'm treating a child in the office who's about 14 years of age. And this beautiful child had been a great athlete. And the doctors, where they go, decided that they were going to vaccinate this child with Gardasil. And, you know, the HPV vaccine that every little boy and little girl should have, right? Because they're going to go out and every kid's going to have sex today. They're going to go out and, you know, they're going to be exposed to all these things. And God forbid they get cervical cancer. Well, the truth of it is, with the HPV vaccine anyway, it only covers a few of the strains. It doesn't cover all of them. But more importantly, there are extraordinary side effects to this. And this young person that we're treating in the office, this athlete, this amazing child, 1 year or so after the Gardasil vaccine, slowly, methodically, degeneratively, her body began to break down to the point where she didn't have the capacity to walk anymore. She was in a wheelchair and a walker. Muscles were tightening up, and they said, well, she just has juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. So then the parents did everything that they could, but they also sought a physician outside our office that does some things alternatively and was going to get some headway with this young person because they wanted to put her on the typical steroids and antibiotics and things that they do quite readily because it's standard of care. And because they did that, the primary physician in one of these health institutes where you pay a fee to go to and they take care of all your needs and wants turned the parents in and the doctor in and tried to get the court to take away the child from the parents because they said that the parents were abusive and neglecting the child simply because of. Anyway, this young person comes into our office and I told them simply we would treat the neurological pathways and help increase wellness index and so forth. But this poor child was on a way to degradation. And we began to treat, and subsequently, what we have about 6 months into it, 5 months into it, is we have her off the walker. She's walking on her own. She has functional capacity. She's still a long way from being normal. But we can't take her off of the medications, unfortunately, that she's on, and that's not for me to do. But in the meantime, they're going through hell because they chose to try to add supplemental care from another physician who is an amazing practitioner and was able to help. But because it didn't meet the standard of care, everybody gets crazy because, you know, God forbid something works outside of drugs. So let me give you some information. Going back a couple years ago, see, the drug companies know how bad some of this stuff is. A U.S. court ordered drug companies to pay $6 million to Gardasil victims. That was published in the Washington Times, by the way. And you go to Washington Times .com/news/US court pays $6 million to Gardasil victims, and you're going to find out that there are 26 deaths. 26 deaths and many serious side effects at that point. That's going back a couple years ago. They were directly attributed to Gardasil. So there's article after article, and you know, there's things out there that said vaccine causes injury and death. And, you know, recovering from a Gardasil vaccine, a long and complicated journey. And then you see the FDA publications about vaccine safety and availability. And they go on to say that the Gardasil vaccine safety monitoring activities and findings reported by the FDA and CDC, you know, that there are very few possible side effects. And yet, when you go through the legal and you go look at the complications and the people who just happen to have these vaccines and a week later or a month or 6 or a year later end up with very severe neurological damage from an interesting side effect that may or may not have occurred. So I want you to be aware of this. I want you to know that there are severe somatoform and dysautonomic syndromes that are occurring as a result of this vaccine, and you have to be very careful. You know, it incenses me when I listen to the television and I listen to the radio and I hear these heart-wrenching advertisings that are so contrived. Little boy, then mom, dad, you know, did you know that? And, you know, saying, and you knew that and you didn't get it from me. It's like, are we trying to kill our families? You know, last week on 60 Minutes, and it was brought out to one of my patients, and I was trying to find it. I saw it the day after they told me, and I'm having a hard time finding it now. 60 Minutes decided to do a program, one of their 15-minute segments on 60 Minutes, on the problems with statins. Statins are the drugs that lower cholesterol. And I've been telling patients for years that the research out there basically says that statins don't work. Yes, they do lower cholesterol, but cholesterol is not the reason that you plaque. Inflammation is. And when I was in school back in the day, the normal cholesterol level was 235. Today, it's down under 200. Why? And who brought those levels down? Well, none other than Big Pharma. And why? Well, I'll let you stretch your imagination. Could it be that the statin industry is $1 trillion a year? $1 trillion. Do you think they got a horse in this race? Do you think they want you on these things? Do you think that they're going to hide the fact that it destroys your brain because your brain needs fat? It's going to destroy your hormone transportation because that needs, you know, that accommodation as well. See, those are the little things that they don't tell you, but that's why I tell you these things here on Dr. Tom Rizal Live. So we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you today. And, you know, it's cold outside, but nevertheless, we're here. And we're going to talk a little bit about this HPV vaccine that's being recognized as a major cause. You know, the HPV virus is a major cause of cervical cancer. But again, what we do know about with the Gardasil and Cervarix vaccines is that it doesn't hit all of the viral patterns that cause it. And so if you go into, there's an interesting article in the U.S. National Library of Medicine, and you can look it up, immunological research, and this goes back to last year, 2017, the edition was 65 in pages 106 to 116. It's basically tells you that there's report after report after report that after the Gardasil vaccine or the other forms of this, that there are huge autonomic dysfunctions that takes place, and they're just saying, well, it's coincidental. It's just coincidental. It happens. But why is it then that the drug companies are setting aside huge amounts of money to pay people off? You know, hush money. We've heard a lot of that, you know, recently in the news. Hush money. You know, here, sign this, you know, give us a non-disclosure agreement and it all goes away. That's called hush money. Again, you've heard, you know, it's nothing new. You've heard a lot about that recently. But hush money is built into the price of the drug, particularly in this country. You become the guinea pig. You're the one that is being tested, and they know that there's a problem. You know, very akin, by the way, to remember years ago, the old Pinto out of Ford, you know, they knew that was going to blow up. So they, you know, when it was a rear end collision and they put money aside. So if something happened, they would pay off the people that got hurt or the people that died, their families. So when you realize that so many of these medications out there are being given because they're standard of care. So you go down to Gardasil vaccine. There's another interesting article called PubMed, and you'll forgive me, but when I see patients like this, when I see beautiful children that are destroyed because their parents are following standard of care, they're following the white coat doctor, the white coat syndrome, as I like to call it, the Gardasil is linked to nerve disorder. This is in PubMed, in WebMD. So go to WebMD, and you're going to check this out. Cervical cancer vaccine may raise the risk of Guillain-Barré syndrome. And it goes on, and this is a couple years ago. They've known this thing, and now they're hushing it up as best they possibly can. So they said, overall, the vaccine does not raise the odds of developing Guillain-Barré. Now, this is a peripheral neuropathy. So this is the way they cover their back end. But then they go on to say, and I'm quoting, there's clear evidence from all the information, their database, right, of an increased incidence of Guillain-Barré syndrome in the first 6 weeks, especially in the first 2 weeks. So what the heck does that mean? One says that, yeah, there ain't no problem here. The other one says, oh, yeah, we got a problem here. So you either do or you don't. But if you do and you're putting money away to hush people up, it tells me that there's an issue. But what I want you to know about is that there's ways of making things better. So when your doctor just kind of shrugs their shoulder and says, I don't know, well, you better start telling them that there are currently a lot of associations between Gardasil, Guillain-Barré syndrome, autonomic problems, and it can go on to other forms of cancers, by the way. Not a good thing. I'm going to talk about a lot of interesting little tidbits today that are in the news, things that you need to know about. But I'd love to talk to you and talk about your situations, your specific issues. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. Don't go away. I've got a lot to talk to you about. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. I'm in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your stuff and see if we can make a difference and point you in a very different direction. You know, whether it's you got a migraine headache or you got concussion or you don't know why you're not walking the way you're supposed to or stomach's bothering you or you just want to, you know, what can I do to make things better? Talked a little bit about the Gardasil problem, and as I said earlier, what triggered my kind of little billy pulpit here was the fact that I have a young patient, and unfortunately I've treated many more of these over time, but it just got to me this week. It just got to me to the place where, you know, we've got to stop the shenanigans, this cover-up, this garbage, you know, of telling people things are without side effects and it's not a big deal. Well, there are side effects and there's huge numbers of side effects and you've got to weigh the risk reward situation. But I go back to the fact that, you know, they're presenting this thing so they can sell tons of product and it's all about cha-king, you know, what goes in the bank account. It's not okay. We're talking about the flu vaccine. Walked into the office the other day, and a patient that I hadn't seen for a while, and you would think that they had listened to me, and I said, so I haven't seen you. Where you been? He said, I've been sick. I said, what do you mean you've been sick? He says, I've had the flu twice. I said, it's not even Christmas time. You've had the flu twice. He says, twice. I said, when did you get the first flu? He says, no, about a week after I had the vaccine. I said, you went out and got the inoculation. And I said, I must not be a good teacher. I must be a very poor teacher. I bet, how long? He says, yeah, I know. And I said, don't you get it? It's a live virus. And not only that, but you have all the other stuff that's put into it. You have the aluminum and you have the mercury and you have all the stuff that they grow on it. And it can be chicken parts and fetal parts, depending on what part of the world they buy it from. See, the interesting thing is the U.S. Passed a law a few years ago that said that they cannot have any vaccine any mercury in a vaccine. And because they know that that mercuric pattern, that thimerosal, causes neurological damage. And so subsequently, over a period of time, you know, what they did is they did an end run. See, because that law didn't say that they couldn't import it from someplace else. So they can't make it here, but they can bring it in. It's kind of an interesting catch-22. See, that's how people get paid off. That's how people, you know, kind of go around the idea of not doing something. So am I on a bandwagon about stuff today? Yes. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the side effects of the vaccine, and since we're talking about side effects, you really need to know that there are significant, you know, besides the CDC will tell you shoulder soreness and body ache. You know, where that body ache comes from? It's the flu. You know, that ache and that fever that you get, that soreness, you know, itching at the injection site, that's called allergy reaction, particularly if they made it from eggs, and many of you are, and then they have the fever. So body aches and fever, what's that sound like? That's the flu. So you're getting these things from the vaccine, and it's usually low grade, which is viral. Viral is the flu. And they say, oh, those are just side effects. And then you get dizziness. And there's our friend again, the Guillain-Barré pattern. So you can get Guillain-Barré syndrome from getting the flu vaccine. So you need to understand that, you know, even though people do recover, but in the situation of Guillain-Barré from flu shots, if you happen to be, you know, the guy that pulls the bad number, you got about a 70% chance of fully recovering. That means you got 30% chance of really having a problem. So you need to understand that, you know, this data is not Dr. Tom Rozelle making it up. This is what I just told you about. It's the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. You know, those are very specific patterns that they know a lot about. And you should know a lot about. And so they say, well, the stuff works. You have a 60% chance of the flu shot being effective. And it's actually 40 to 60%. What does that mean? That means that 60% of the time it stimulates an antibody response. But what they don't tell you is about, at the best, 50% of the time, enough of an antibody response to protect you. So that's like 30% effectiveness overall. You are not stupid people. You are really very smart. Crunch the numbers and don't believe people. You know, I've said repeatedly, year after year on my radio program, that don't believe anybody, including me. Do your homework. My job is to provoke you. My job is to stir your interest. My job is to make you say, what? That can't be true. And then go look it up. See, did you ever wonder why you get the bug in the wintertime and not in the summer? It's the same virus. It's around all the time. It's because you don't get any sunlight. You eat a whole lot of garbage. You put tons of sugar in your body, get less activity, and your body becomes more immunologically susceptible to all this nonsense. We're going to cover a whole lot more today. And, you know, if I don't do anything but stir up the pot here, then I've done my job. But don't go away. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about, you know, as long as about your health. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Let's, you know, get through the maze here. I've got a lot of things that I want to share with you, but there's a lot of you that are calling in, so I've stirred the pot a little bit. So let's go. Susan, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Hi, yes, I just tuned into your show on the radio. I don't know if you discussed this yet, but I want some thoughts on baby immunization. Specifically, my daughter just had a baby, and the baby is 2 days old, and they've already given her a hepatitis shot, and I'm not sure what the other shot was, but a couple of months later, she was diagnosed as failure to thrive.
Yep.
And I've heard from two other people whose children were also diagnosed failure to thrive. And I'm wondering if there's a connection.
There's a huge connection. If you just get online, you start doing the research. If you go to, better yet, let's do this. If you go to Dr. Tom Rozell Live this week, probably midweek, I'm going to give you some websites to check out. But let's talk about it specifically. You know, from the moment of birth, they start injecting these poor little children. And when you're giving things like diphtheria and tetanus, you know, the DTaP shot, it's got pertussis in it and so forth. They're going to give the Haemophilus influenza vaccine at 2 months. They're going to get the IPV, inactivated poliovirus. They're going to give the pneumococcal vaccine. They're going to get the... If you did all of those things, these poor children are being indigenated. They don't even have an immune system that can work yet. They're based on mom's immunological responses. If mom's immune system isn't doing what it should be doing, then they're going to have a problem. Then at 4 months, they go to the Tdap again, and they have another five viruses. At 6 months, they do another booster, and they go through all of that. And then annually, then after that, they recommend, obviously, the flu vaccines. And then 6 to 18 months, then they go hepatitis B. And then a whole bunch. So then, you know, 12 to 15 months, they get in the measles, mumps, and rubella, and the hep A at 12 to 23. By the time they're 6 years of age, they've had several dozen inoculations. And you're seeing more kids with ADD and ADHD conditions. You're seeing kids with failure to thrive early on because their immune system can't handle it. So here's the other thing nobody's telling you about. A child's gallbladder doesn't functionally work until they're 6 to 7 months of age. And your body is able to get rid of mercury and other metals through the gallbladder. So they're giving them these inoculations that are semi-dead, but they have to preserve them. And how they preserve them is by using metal, thimerosal, which is mercury, and aluminum and so forth. We were talking earlier offline here that, you know, years ago, the drug companies stopped making any of the vaccines in country, in the United States, that had any kind of metal in them. But they didn't stop them from importing them in from other countries. And that's where that's where you get a lot of the stuff. So, this HPV vaccine that we were talking about earlier, you know, they're recommending between 11 and 12 years of age. And, you know, it's across the board, and you're seeing all kinds of side effects because of this, the one that I talked about. But with children, you're seeing dramatic increases. There's a website that you should all go to and check it out. It's called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D, Vaxxed.com. And go through and look at the videos that are there. These are people who have dedicated their lives, and I mean physically dedicated their lives, because they've been threatened by the exposures that they've been doing. And you're going to see that the CDC and the FDA and the government have been in cahoots, if you want to use that word, and, you know, putting money aside, paying people off. My children, you know, my choice, back in the day, my children are, you know, much older, were never vaccinated. And we chose to do that. But they, you know, they had acupuncture and manual neurological treatment. And my wife is a functional medical nutritionist, if those of you know the practice. So we were able to do that. And back in the day, we send them out. If somebody had the measles or the chicken pox or whatever it is, we send them out to play, because the immunological reactions were permanent at that point. But, you know, again, that's me for my children. What I want you to do is get all the data, the information, so you know what happens with these things, and then make a decision. You still can get religious exemptions in many states to not inoculate. And if you are going to inoculate, you choose to do one at a time, not multiple vaccines at a time, and you choose the ones that absolutely do not have any of the heavy metals in it, the mercury or the aluminum, and you can get those. You just have to fight with your physician sometime. And when they say, you know, I want you to have the MMR, you said, nope, I'm not doing it. You know, we can do one if you choose to do that. If you're going to do the chickenpox or varicella, you know, and so forth, let's do it when the child's 1 year of age. There's no reason on the planet that they should do it before one. And the reason that they do it is because they feel that if they don't get you into the loop, they don't get you into the schedule, that the chances are they're not going to be able to inoculate your child. You know, so for kids who may otherwise not get the flu shot, you know, they're going crazy. They're telling parents, as I said earlier, that parents are a hazard to the children, and they're going to court, and they're trying to take children away from their parents. We could go on about this all the time, but check it out. I'm going to try to post some websites for you. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. It's a great, great question. 888-630-9625. But, you know, there's a website called Kids Health, K-I-D-S-H-E-A-L-T, Kids Health. And it's got the whole schedule. It tells you what's in some of these things. It's really not okay. And you have to make sure you understand what's going on. Diana, how can I help you?
Hey, Dr. Roselle. I have a question on a different topic.
Shoot.
I wanted to know what your thoughts were, if you had any, on radio surgery for cancer and also on infusions, like vitamin infusions, with a weakened immune system.
Okay, two different questions. They're actually overlapping. You know, let's take the one with IV nutrition. For some people who are so totally and absolutely depleted, Myers cocktails, things like that, that have a whole lot of nutritional bases, particularly B12, folate, glutathione to help detoxify the system, are really excellent. Some of our older patients are people who are so immunologically compromised. I mean, you can mix and match these things, you know, based on the patient in front of you. And they do work. They work very, very well. But you hand select. Obviously, you always want to make sure that the patient's diet, whenever possible, is excellent. And you only use that when you're trying to repair, rebuild somebody's system because they've been depleted and their immunological responses are very, very low. So, you know, there's that piece. Now,
not to interrupt, but the person that I'm specifically concerned about is using vitamin C infusions as kind of a partial cancer treatment.
Well, the reason that they do vitamin C is because it stimulates the production of interferon. Interferon is the body's natural way of handling any kind of viral pattern, and cancers are viral patterns. So what it does is it stimulates the body's immunological response to go attack the virus. So it's one way of handling it, but it's a partial. I mean, they're doing hydrogen peroxide therapies. They're doing hyperbaric chamber therapies, vitamin C infusions. There's a lot of different things, but you, in my experience with patients who have gone outside of our practice, you know, to do these things, you have to do it multidimensionally. You have to use many things at one time. Can it work? Yeah, absolutely. I've seen them work amazingly well. So there's options out there. At one point, Cancer Centers of America, there's one out in Philadelphia, used to do more integrative work. They don't do as much of it now as anymore. You know, it's still, if I was ever faced with a situation, depending on what the type of cancer it is, I'm going to do the things that I know about. There's 714X out of Canada. There are centers in Mexico that do amazing job with these types of things. Even heating a tumor, whether it's a breast tumor or any other type of tumor, up to 140 degrees for 40 minutes once a day will destroy, in many cases, not all of them, but in many cases will destroy the tumor. There's a tremendous amount of data there, and I'm just repeating things that you can find yourself and understand that. You know, you talked about radiotherapy. You're talking about proton therapy and where it encases the tumor. If the tumor is very specific and isolated, it works very well. So if somebody has, you know, again, you want to always support the patient as best you possibly can, you know, in their immune responses. But if you're going to do any kind of, years ago with CyberKnife, and they said they could go directly, but it did have a side effects. But with proton therapy with cancers, it's probably one of the least irritating side effect therapies that you can do when it comes to radiation therapy. There's a lot of different things that they're using, but that's one that is showing some very remarkable future applications. And in addition to that, you know, the genetic mapping, genetic testing, the tagging that they're doing with certain types of cancers today are showing promise. I have a young weightlifter who's a patient of mine. He came up with a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's because he was putting all kinds of stuff in his body. I told him he was going to get in trouble. He didn't listen. He ended up in trouble. But now he's gone the other route, and he's using all kinds of supportive natural means, from acupuncture and low energy light laser and dietary changes. But he's also using, because of the type of cancer it is, he's using some genetic markers to tag the cancer. So the fractionated dose chemotherapeutics that he's applying is working well. So you have to, you know, you have to look at what cancer is. It's big business. It's huge dollars in this country. And you step outside the borders of our country and you go to Russia and you go to Mexico and you go to even in Canada, and they're getting results that we don't get here. And it's because standard of care is dictated, unfortunately, by the guys that write the checks. And the guys that write the checks are the ones that are funding the oncological centers of the different hospitals and the different teaching institutions. So, you know, you have to look, okay, what else can be done? So the short answer is yes, there's things that are coming about that can be very effective, but they have to be combined, in my opinion, with other things that support body's ability to handle whatever is being done to it. Does that help you at all?
Yes. Yeah, so radio surgery, I'm getting, is actually just kind of like proton therapy.
Yes. As far, I mean, I would have to know more. Can you give me a little bit more data, and I can tell you?
Well, all I know is at the clinic, we're just going for an opinion. My friend has been, she had a mastectomy. She's had radiation. She's had chemo, a couple different kinds of chemo. And this is a clinic in New York called Radio Surgery New York. And I think his name is Dr. Letterman.
Well, I mean, I know who Letterman is up there, but you know, when you talk about radiotherapy or radiation therapy, it's the same type of thing. It uses very high doses of radiation to kill and to shrink the tumors, but it's not exactly what I told you about. So unless they're saying, you know, you have they're going to do specific proton radiation, it's not that. So you have to be very, very careful. But, you know, radiation therapy, you know, uses radiation, period, to treat the tumors and the cancers. And, you know, they try to focus it very specifically on the tumor. They try to tag it very specifically. But it's, you know, it's not without its side effects, so.
You said it was less collateral damage than with regular radiation.
That's true. It is. But again, ask the question, you know, what are the types? But, you know, you still have, you know, the nausea, and you still have sometimes swelling of the lymph nodes. You still have, you know, and if it's in the face or anything, you can still end up having bone loss. It causes a localized osteoporosis to occur. So, you know, you need to have somebody. If you're going up to New York, to do this, you need to either get.
I live in Rhode Island, so I'm basically taking them from Rhode Island to New York for this opinion, is all.
Okay. Where would they have the treatment done?
Well, if they accept her, they could do the treatment right there at the facility in New York.
Okay.
And they said she would be there probably 4 hours, so I don't know how much of that is consultation and how much.
What type of tumor is it? It's not making a lot of sense to me.
It started as breast cancer, gotten lymph nodes, and now she has spots in her liver and in her hip.
And it's just going to be a one-time treatment for a period of time?
No, this is just a consultation we're going to initially to find out if she's even a candidate for it.
Got it.
That's why I was kind of wondering. I mean, she has some other health issues that they said were not factors and were not disqualifying, but I just thought I would call, you know, since you were on the radio, I just thought I would ask you before I head up there next week what your opinion was on it.
Yeah,
your opinion.
If she decides to go under care and do the radiation, send me a note and I will send you the names of some people up in the New England area that can be very supportive in the treatment.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you've helped me before with my friends up there, and I thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Just remember, your body's immunological. You know, I had a conversation with a patient the other day, and I said, he asked me a question, and, you know, about healing process and so forth, and he said, this drug is healing me, and I said, not really. So I asked him the question. I said, if you break your arm, and they put a cast on it for 6 to 8 weeks, and after 6 to 8 weeks, they take the cast off, and your arm is healed. Did the cast heal you, or did your body heal you? So at the end of the day, whatever you do to support your body's immunological responses is what really is healing you. You've got to get the garbage out of the way. Got a couple more calls we will take after we come back from the break. This is, you know, one of those programs that I wish I could spend the rest of the afternoon and we can just chit-chat and talk about so many of these things. Because, you know, when we talk about, you know, radiation treatment and cancers, you know, we need to really spend a lot of time. If it's a localized cancer, the effectiveness in radiation therapy is quite high. It's actually the what they call the 5-year survival rate. You're going to be around on the planet 5 years or more is really high. But it's a very specific, very directed, but still there is damage. And you have to understand that it's not without its side effects. And you must do your due diligence. It's important. Make sure you understand all the pieces. Ask the hard questions. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. You know, usually I say, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon, but it's because the Redskins are playing tomorrow. We're on Saturday at 4 o'clock, but, you know, it's been a great program. It's really kind of very active. Maybe I switch to 4 o'clock permanently. I don't know. You have to let me know if you like it on Saturdays better than Sundays. I just don't know. But appreciate your calls. We know we have patients listening to us from all over the country and people listening to us overseas. I hope that we serve you as well as you deserve to be served. So make sure you let us know what we can do to make a difference in your life. Let's go to the phones. Marilyn, thank you for calling. I have a couple quick minutes before we're done, so how can I help you?
I'll try to make it real fast. I have two issues. I have a degenerative disc problem and spinal stenosis, and I developed neuropathy in my feet.
Okay.
And I don't have diabetes.
Okay.
And then I just got open pneumonia, and I've had it 4 times. So my doctor told me to take the flu shot. I haven't taken it yet. I've listened to you quite often, and I also attended a nutrition class. So what do you think I should do?
Okay, two things. So the stenosis could very well be causing the neuropathy in your feet.
Really?
You know, neuropathy is when the holes, you know, where the nerves come out, get narrowed for one reason or the other. We can't get into all the reasons right now, but they get narrowed down. So what you have to do with that is you have to decrease the inflammatory reaction, and you have to begin to open the disc spaces. And we do that in our office with what we call low back decompression and acupuncture, and it works pretty well. But you got to change the chemistry. You got to change the inflammatory reactions that are perpetuating this thing, and it can make a difference. So we, you know, unfortunately, we see way too much of that, and you know, it's an ongoing basis. Now the flu shot, it's itself with recurrent pneumonia patterns. The fact that you have pneumonia and you've been getting it repetitively tells me that your immunological system is weakened. And if you get a flu shot, you could very likely get the flu because of the flu shot. Your intestinal system in Chinese medicine, the large intestine and the lung work together. They're co-partners. One's yin, meaning external expressive, which is a large intestine, and yin, which is your internal life-giving, which is your lung. You take your lung out, you die. So you have to look at the body's responses. 80 to 90% of your immune system is in the intestinal system. So if the dietary patterns aren't good, if the energy level is not good and supportive to the intestinal tract, if you're getting things you shouldn't be getting, it's going to be worse. My quick knee-jerk reaction to what you're saying is that, you know, your vitamin D level is probably going to be very low. You're getting, you know, probably way too many sugars or fast-acting carbohydrates than what you should, because one teaspoon of sugar or the sugar equivalent decreases your immunological response, the white blood cell response to go after things, by about 12% for 8 hours. So it's like putting things into a coma. They're there. You can pick them up on a slide and count them, but they're not working. So you've got to look at that. You've got to start changing things and get your immune system up and going. Otherwise, you're going to continue having the problem. And, you know, obviously the sequela can be quite significant, but it's not about getting an outside intervention, a drug. It's about taking care of you and bringing your body's immunological reaction up. You look at diet, you look at the nervous system, you look at the energetic platform, you fix that. And you begin to change, you know, a lot of different things. If we can help you, Marilyn, I really would love to do that, but I would think twice. You know, my opinion is that you start with basics, but, you know, get that vitamin D, get that vitamin C level up, get some zinc in your body. You know, things are not going to hurt you. You can do 30 milligrams of zinc. You can do 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a couple times a day. You can, you can get vitamin D. Don't know what your levels would be, but you can start with, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 this time of the year without any trouble whatsoever. Hopefully I can help you that way. If we can be of service, please let us know. We're coming up to that part of the program where I have to say I'll see you next week, right? And, you know, make sure that if you want to talk to me or talk to my doctors, you go on the website and let us know. I love you all. See you later. Bye.